The October 20, 2025 Lombard Key Commission Regular Workshop is called to order at 1:00 p.m. Vice Mayor Williams will lead us in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Well, thanks to all of you for coming today. If you haven't seen, if you can't get a chair in here, there are some set up outside. I'd like to start the meeting, as we always do, with a reminder to everyone that we have a civility policy and a pledge of conduct as follows. We may disagree, but we will be respectful of one another. We will direct all comments to issues. We will avoid personal attacks. Audience members wishing to speak must be recognized by the chair. Speaking without being recognized will be considered as out of order. I know a number of you have turned in slips to Trish up here. If you do wish to speak, if you haven't turned in one to her, please do so. She's got some extras up there. At this point in our meeting, we always have a time for members of the public to address us on any issue not on the agenda, so not having to do with the road name change issue. Is there anyone who would like to take advantage of that? Seeing none, we're going to move on to item four, which is our standard request that members of the commission report to us on any meetings they might have held for any board or committee that they sit on since our last meeting. Anyone? BJ.
Oh, there it is. Thank you, Your Honor. Deborah and I had quite the week last week. On Tuesday, we drove to Tallahassee for the designation ceremony for President-elect Jim Boyd. And since you were not able to attend with us, we brought you a very special gift. Silver. And there you go, the official drink glass of the designation of ceremony.
Thank you, everyone. That's special.
No, that's only for religious events.
And I did see him on Saturday, by the way, so he did have a chance to catch up.
I bet he didn't give you a lovely cup. In addition to the designation ceremony, we did have an extended period of time at the social event Tuesday evening to chat with a number of elected officials in Tallahassee, as well as Dave Ramba, our lobbyist. So it was certainly worth the 14-hour drive that Deborah did. And on Thursday, because we hadn't been in a car nearly enough, we drove to Orlando for the latest round of legislative meetings in preparation for session beginning January 13th. I serve on the Utilities Committee, and our two issues that have moved forward both have to do with the Enterprise Fund and how we are allowed to have funds available from Enterprise for the general fund, and also how we're able to use money when we have capital projects on those issues. So probably the more interesting discussion was Senator DeSiglia making amendment changes to SB 180. I have not been able to get my hands on that legislation yet, but we are hopeful that we're going to see significant amendments so that we will hopefully be able to move forward with approving things in our comp plan and our zoning code that make it possible to build resiliently and not have to live with old codes. Thank you.
Steve.
Thank you, sir. I did attend the MPO Governing Board meeting this morning. Our primary effort was to approve the long-range transportation plan for 2025 to 2050. It's a document I spoke about at our last meeting, and that's now been approved. And moving forward from that, they're putting out a call now for 2026 projects. I assume the staff will be working on that. I'll check with Jen to make sure, or Howard, maybe you can confirm that, but we're working 2026 now, and there'll be an effort to refine that list and get us on there somewhere. Second, there's a new chairman of the MPO governing board. It's Mayor Brown from Bradenton. He was the vice chair for the last year, and Chairman Nunder is now off. He's no longer the chairman. And finally, I did speak with Jamie Driggers at the meeting, and he's been now made permanent secretary of District 1. We announced that today.
Okay.
That's all I have.
Thank you. Penny?
Yes, I attended the Florida League of Cities, the Legislative Policy Committee, and my committee is Intergovernmental Relations and Transportation and Emergency Management, which is a lot. But we did, we spent a lot of time on Senate Bill 180, which we understand there's going to be a glitch bill to try to repair that. There's so many elements in that bill that were, the bill was originally proposed as a way to streamline post-recovery work after hurricanes, but it wound up preempting local authority on planning and zoning. And so some of the things that that they're working on, and I do have some really good language I was going to give to Tip and to Maggie, that FLC worked on, and
Penny, just let me interrupt you for a second. We've got some people outside. The sound may not be perfect. If you could just get as close to your mic as you can.
Oh, okay.
This is for everyone's sake.
Yeah, my voice doesn't carry very far. I know. Anyway, that it was nullifying years of local planning. A lot of cities had bills in the works or comp plans in the works ready to go, and then everything just stopped after years of work and expensive consulting. So the impact is significant. The proposal is very strategic, and I think will be an excellent starting place when we go to Tallahassee this session. The number two issue for our committee had to do with elections of municipal officers, and they said that they expect to see legislation that would require all local governments to have their elections on the same day as the president and or the governor, depending. And so we couldn't do March elections anymore. Everything would have to be either 11 weeks out for a primary, and then the full election would have to be on a major election. So that's really problematic for areas where you might have a local referendum that'll get lost in all of this. You may have legislators, you may have mayors or local council people who would have not have access to any media because everything would be sucked up and expensive for the gubernatorial or the presidential race. So I think it would be probably not in the best interest of the citizens of Florida, but that's going to be one of the major policy issues for that committee. I also attended the EDC Governance Committee. We approved a draft of board responsibilities, and I think they've worked very hard on getting a really good list of responsibilities for board members. And I think if there are any condo associations or any other nonprofit groups, I'd be happy to share that because I think it's a really good document with some helpful guidance in it. That's it.
Thank you. Carrie?
Yeah, I too attended a Florida League of Cities meeting. I'm on the Development Code Compliance Committee. Basically, we've got five topics that we were working on: the community redevelopment agencies, affordable housing update, short-term rentals, impact fees, and then plating updates. So being the second meeting, we've narrowed it down to the affordable housing situation is the topic that we're going to go and pursue more than anything. That's really about it.
Deborah?
I also attended Florida Legacy's meeting on October 17th as part of the Municipal Operations Committee. And out of the six subjects that we were considering to put forward as priority, the committee voted and we narrowed it down to open carry, so to fix the flaws in the existing open carry law, sovereign immunity, and public records exemption for city clerks and staff.
Thank you. Yeah, Sarah?
I was also at Florida League of Cities on the Finance and Taxation Committee. It was a day that raised many eyebrows as the House Select Committee exploring property tax reform offered up eight separate constitutional amendments regarding ways to reduce ad valorem taxes on homesteaded properties. All of those amendments restrict any changes occurring to law enforcement funding or education funding, public education funding. None of the amendments have any details or plans for implementation. And as a result, as you can imagine, the Finance and Taxation Committee decided to make that initiative, those initiatives, their sole focus for the upcoming legislative session.
Thank you. Gary, is there anything else?
Yeah, I did want to make a shout out to, at that meeting at the FLC, I did a shout out for our expert building department and how efficient they are, and that we had put together a short-term rental program that was second to none. And after the meeting, two people came up and did request information from us on that. Can we share that ordinance with them? Okay. I'll get these to Trish or somebody.
All right. So we don't get to see so many of you often. It's a pleasure. But I want to let you know, as you saw as part of this, the start of the meeting, we always talk about what's going on in committees that we sit on. Because we're in two counties, we have doubled the functions that any other city might have. So every one of us has to sit on a variety of, whether it's the Tourist Development Commission for both counties or the Economic Development Commission, the MPO, as Steve does now. We have council of governments meetings in both counties. So it's a long list of things to go along with participation in the Florida League of Cities, which all of us do to some degree, and maintaining the lobbying effort, which is part of FLC, but we also do it directly. Several of our commissioners, BJ in particular, has been in touch with all of our legislative delegations about things that are important to us, especially everything that is encompassed by the idea of home rule. So that's an interesting segue into our discussion for today. So the as a result of the official renaming of our body of water, Gulf of Mexico, to Gulf of America, the question has been raised as to whether Gulf of Mexico Drive, our main road, should be renamed as Gulf of America Drive or something else. Now, so much interest has been expressed on this question, and this is obvious from the number of people who are here today, but we had, and Trish may give us some numbers later, our staff will, over 500 submissions in writing or through social media on this subject, many more than I've ever observed in the 14 years I've been working for the town here in one fashion or another. So as a result of that, we've decided to dedicate today's workshop, which is generally for a variety of items on which we do not take official action. We've decided to dedicate all of today's workshop to resolving this issue if we can. If there is a consensus by this board at the end of the meeting to make some change, then we have scheduled a special meeting, which would be a meeting at which we could take formal action, voting action, which will follow directly after this meeting. If it's not necessary because no change has been elected, then we will not convene that second meeting, just so you understand what's going on. Now, we will proceed with this meeting as follows, and this is not an unusual way to go. We'll start with a staff presentation. They've spent an inordinate amount of time not only collecting information about this issue, but collecting and collating, and this is Trish, our town clerk's job with her staff, all of the opinions and ideas that you and our other residents have submitted to us for consideration. After the staff presentation, we will have a discussion among the commissioners about whether questions we have for the staff or other issues we'd like to discuss. Following that, we will have the opportunity for members of the public to come up to the podium here, state your name and address. You'll have 3 minutes to state your view on this subject, the subject of Gulf of Mexico Drive, renaming or not. I'll ask you now, if you have, if someone else has expressed your view, you know, in terms of your reasons, your rationales, you don't have to repeat it. And we've seen a lot of this in writing. Everything that has been submitted, I think you've been told, has been made a part of the record. We have seen all of it. We've read all of it. So in the interest of everyone here, if you have something new to add, by all means. If you have an opinion to state, by all means. But don't necessarily repeat what one of your neighbors has said. After we finish with the public comment, we will come back to the commission. We'll discuss everything that we've heard. And as I mentioned, we will then, by consensus, decide what to do going forward and whether that will involve a second regular meeting or not. And again, as the town clerk has advised everyone here, all of your communications received before the state are part of our hearing. And I think we've all read them. I know I've read all of them. So on that note, we'll move on to the next step, which is to ask Tip, our town manager, to kick it off.
Your Honor, can I make one request?
Yes, ma'am.
First, if you have a cell phone with you, can you please turn the ringer or the beepers off so it's not disturbing our speakers? Thank you.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you and good afternoon, everybody.
Could we be any clearer?
There's always one. So that's perfect timing. So again, welcome everybody. My name's Howard Tipton. I go by Tip. I have the pleasure of serving as your town manager. Just to echo the mayor's comments about the amount of work on the staff side, I know you have certainly been putting in a lot of work. And we've been reading about that, but I do want to recognize our town clerk's office and our assistant town manager, Isaac Brownman, who's getting ready to speak, just for their extra efforts on this. We do have a day job as well, but this has this really has seemed to capture the attention of everybody, and so again, we appreciate you coming out. And with that, I'm going to turn it over to Isaac. The idea, as the mayor said, is for us to share kind of some history and impacts of any potential change, and then go to the board for any questions, and then open it up to you. So with that, Mr. Brownman.
Good afternoon, Mayor, Vice Mayor, Commissioners, members of the public, Isaac Brownman, Assistant Town Manager for the Town of Longboat Key. As Mr. Tipton stated, today is really a culmination of research and coordination of all the information around this local road name we know as Gulf of Mexico Drive. Coordinated with folks like the Florida Department of Transportation, our respected state advisors, attorneys, our own records, and others. So with that, we'll begin. And we're going to start with a little bit of background. How did we get to Gulf of Mexico Drive? This roadway, as you can see on the map on the right-hand side, traverses the entire 10-mile length of Longboat Key. It is a state road. It's not a town-owned or maintained roadway. It's a state road identified by the state as State Road 789, which is locally known as Gulf of Mexico Drive. That name has existed since September 16, 1957. The town commission at that time changed the name. It had a local road name known as John Ringling Boulevard. The town was incorporated in 1955, and shortly after, voted to change the name to Gulf of Mexico Drive. Interestingly, those discussions began in 1956. The original name contemplated at the time was Longboat Parkway. That name was hand-crossed out, and Gulf of Mexico Drive was written in, so the commission preferred that name at the time, since 1957. As I mentioned, this is a 10-mile-long roadway within the town boundary. The Florida Department of Transportation, since this is a state roadway, is the agency responsible for all the roadway elements within the state right-of-way. So the FDOT has their own nomenclature for all their roadways, and it's an ID number, typically, and they identify this road as State Road 789. So a little bit of background, what's happened since earlier this year. On January 20th, 2025, President Donald J. Trump had signed Executive Order 14172, which was titled Restoring Names That Honor American Greatness. That executive order had other names. It wasn't just about the Gulf of Mexico turning into the Gulf of America. There were other names being restored. But that order directed the Secretary of the Interior to rename the U.S. Continental Shelf area, formerly known as the Gulf of Mexico, as the Gulf of America. The citation there is from the White House website. Subsequent to that, and this is where we really get to the heart of the matter, the Florida House of Representatives introduced House Bill 549 and also a companion bill 575. Both were passed by the Florida legislature in 2025. These were signed by Governor Ron DeSantis, and these House bills require Florida state agencies to update geographic materials to reflect the new federal designation of the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America. Those bills, when signed by the governor, went into effect July 1st, 2025, and effectively became Florida law. This is just a snapshot of one of those statements. Be it resolved by the legislature of the state of Florida, each state agency shall update its geographic materials to reflect the new federal designation of the Gulf of Mexico as the Gulf of America. So as I mentioned earlier, with the new Florida law in effect, and being that the road is a state road, FDOT removed all the road signs that were labeled Gulf of Mexico Drive from the State Road 789 right-of-way. I'll get to this in a later slide. There were only six signs to speak of, but they did come out and remove those signs. Typically, the state nor FDOT, neither of them adopt a local road name for state roads. Typically, they have an identification number, and they allow that to remain in the purview of the local jurisdiction via a resolution, which is why the Town Commission in 1957 was able to name this road Gulf of Mexico Drive. We have talked to FDOT on a number of occasions. They do plan to replace signs on the roadway with permanent internally illuminated signs should the town adopt a new local road name if the town so chooses. And more recently, may even put back the original signs as well. That remains to be seen. So at this time, and this is very important, it is that both the town and the state DOT's understanding that neither the current actions related to the state law nor the removal of the signs change the local road name. At this point in time, the local road name remains Gulf of Mexico Drive on State Road 789. So here we're just going to introduce some of the options the commission has today, and then we will revisit this. There will be a third option later. And the mayor did mention it earlier. So the first option is to take no action at this time. And what that does, the result of that, is the local road name doesn't change. It simply remains the same as Gulf of Mexico Drive. For the take no action option, the FDOT may restore Gulf of Mexico Drive street name signs. However, the town may opt to leave them off for now just to kind of see what happens and decide where do we go from here, depending on what the state may or may not do. It is important for the town commission and members of our community to be aware of the financial support and relationships that we have built with the state of Florida, and would be beneficial for those to be preserved. The other option is to change the locally known road name of State Road 789 from Gulf of Mexico Drive to another name of choice via an adopted resolution. Those are the basic options before you today. So a little bit of continued background in terms of inventory. So the sign inventory itself, the FDOT had six signs within their state road right-of-way that had the name Gulf of Mexico Drive or similar. They were only at four discrete locations, as noted on the screen: Longboat Club Drive, Fire Station 92 here in town, Bales Parkway, and Fire Station 91 and the Police Department. FDOT removed these signs as a result of what was signed into state law on August 24th, 2025, that week. And as I mentioned, the FDOT has agreed to place new signs up if the town adopts a new name, absent any other state legislation that may happen or may not happen, redefining the name at the state level. Apologize for misspelling there. It is interesting to note that on a 10-mile stretch of roadway, there were only 6 signs. That indicates a couple things. One, Gulf of Mexico Drive has been a very well-known, well-established road name since 1957. There hasn't been a pressing need to add more signs for visitors than that. And most everybody nowadays has a smartphone or a digital device that has a map that kind of gets you where you need to go. As an example, we wanted to give an example of a location where the state did provide overlay a name on a state roadway, but in that case, it didn't actually change any of the local road names, and that's State Road A1A. If you're familiar with State Road A1A on the East Coast, it runs practically the entire East Coast of Florida, and practically every community it runs through, it has some different local road name, whether it's Ocean Drive, Atlantic Avenue, etc. In a gesture a few years ago, the state actually passed, the legislature passed a name for the highway to be Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway. In that particular action, it didn't change all the local road names. It simply overlaid a state road name, which they would typically have called it State Road A1A. Now it has a memorial name known as the Jimmy Buffett Memorial Highway. So those were the FDOT signs. The town also has a handful of signs along Gulf of Mexico Drive. These are block signs. For example, as you see in the image on the right, 1,000 block of Gulf of Mexico Drive and so forth. We have 6 of those all the way to the 6,000 block. Should no action be taken, the town block signs would remain the same. Should the town commission choose to change the local road name, the only thing that would have to be changed out are those vinyl slides. There's 2 per sign, so a total of 12 vinyl slides. Somewhat inexpensive. The cost would be about $1,680 to change the 12 vinyl slides. In terms of private monument signs, this is not exhaustive. There was a brief review along the full 10 miles that reveals that the vast majority of private development signs along the roadway don't include the name Gulf of Mexico Drive. Basically, there's a development name and an address number, which you typically see on signs. There are 4 that clearly have the name Gulf of Mexico Drive. These are the Beach on Longboat Key, Island Court, the Diplomat Beach Resort, and the Beachcomber. There may be others, but these were the 4 that were noted in our brief review. Now let's get into the address inventory along Gulf of Mexico Drive. So staff conducted an inventory of all the current addresses on Gulf of Mexico Drive. There are about 5,140 Gulf of Mexico Drive addresses on Longboat Key. Over 2,000 of those are in Manatee County. Over 3,000 of those are in Sarasota County. A number of these addresses are condominium and apartment units. That's why there's so many. Owners range from individuals and couples to corporations, associations, and trusts. For example, over 600 address owners have the word trust or trustee in the name. About 584 addresses have the word LLC or life estate in the name of the addressee. In terms of tips in case there was a name change for residents, there are different resources on the internet. This is a particular one that's advertised on United States Postal Service address change forms. It's called My Move. As you can imagine, a name change like this to change your address, it's similar to a move, but to a lesser extent. You're not having to open new accounts and put down deposits, and there are certain things that don't necessarily need to change. Things that would need to change, like a driver's license or ID card, the tax collector's office indicated there would be this 30-day window where that would need to take place, and the town would work very closely with all the agencies to streamline any efforts if the commission decided to change the name of the roadway, resulting in address changes. Of course, financial services, utilities, again, not opening new accounts, but the town staff would work hard with all our utility providers to help streamline that effort. Insurance, medical providers, service providers, animal care, etc. All these are just the types of things that would require updating an address. I will mention this later, but your deeds would not necessarily have to be updated because often they're just referencing a legal description or plat book and page, so that is optional. Also, wills and trusts would not have to be updated unless you want to, because a lot of, in fact, every time, what's considered is a testator's intent and understanding that if a golf, a road name change occurred, the judge and the arbitrators would understand that. But we'll get into that in a little bit. We also talked to some of our businesses. We're going to pivot now and talk about a business change of address. The town did speak to four different notable hospitality resorts we have here on the Key. And so, of course, there are the items we mentioned for a resident, but commercial businesses differ in scale and magnitude. So something like an address change does have a greater effect on a business. So we do have a lot of hospitality and tourism here on Longboat Key. And each one has multitudes of insurance certificates and licenses that would need to be updated. Information to all the vendors, commercial service providers, each would want to notify their existing clientele. Each would have to change all their marketing and advertising materials, stationery, business cards, and the like. And of course, the hospitality sector would be changing in-room labels and directories. One of the examples we spoke to is a condominium-owned short-term rental type unit. So all the unit owners would make their changes, and then the business, the corporate business itself, would make corresponding changes. Independently, each said that a change like this would be substantial. It'd be huge, massive, unplanned, would have to change everything, is what we were hearing consistently. There would be a significant cost and time factor, but no one could place a cost factor on this at this point, and a couple of them said something like this could take years. Notably, we did speak to, as one of the four, we did speak to the St. Regis. They noted that as a hospitality provider of hospitality services, they try to stay very neutral in these sorts of things. There can be passion on both sides of something like this, so they try to serve every customer. But if it gets changed, they'll change it as needed. They'll do what they need to do to get it done, also acknowledging it'll be significant. They also noted because they just opened, they just went through a ramp-up exercise to market their location so everybody knows where they're at. So they did suggest they'd have to do some of that again. For example, when they started to advertise St. Regis on Longboat Key, people thought it was in the Keys. So they had to, they spent a lot of considerable time just educating people as to where Longboat Key is. Moving on to the United States Postal Service, this is one of the bright spots. Town met with the Longboat Key Postmaster on October 8th. If the town commission were to change the name by resolution, it's a very basic process. The resolution would be sent to the Tampa Mail Center. The new road name would get uploaded into their automated system in Tampa. Within 4 weeks, every address would be updated on Longboat Key. There would be no need for every individual addressee to fill out a change of address form. That would not be required at all, nor do they want to see those. They certainly don't want to see 5,000 of them. So for the Postal Service, they've done this before. It's not complicated. There's no negative effect to customer mail. Both road names would be recognized for some time. The only thing they did note is there may be a lag time for certain companies that buy your contact information, say 2 years later. You may not get that mail. You may not want that mail. So just moving on to emergency services and our town accounts. If the town commission were to change the name by resolution, the town's emergency services and Sarasota County dispatch and mapping can pivot very quickly and respond quickly to both the old and new road name and the addressing. So no worries there on emergency management. The town itself would update your waste management, everybody's waste management accounts, water or sewer accounts, and all other accounts that the town holds. No need for each individual to handle those. All town records going forward from the effective date would include the new road name. All former records prior to the resolution date would remain the same. Nothing's changed prior to that date. Now let's talk a little bit about the importance of our state and FDOT partnerships with the town. So as I mentioned, Gulf of Mexico Drive, which is a state road known as State Road 789, runs through Longboat Key, and it's a unique roadway. This state road is essentially our main street. It traverses the full 10 miles of the town. It's the only access on and off the island. So we tend to be a little more interdependent with FDOT than most, particularly when it comes to capital projects, maintenance projects, repairs, and very importantly, storm response and recovery. So the town and the FDOT value our relationship and partnership together. In terms of this partnership, there are a lot of recent collaboration efforts that we'd like to just highlight to date. Down on the south end, there is a Country Club Shores Left Turn Lane project that's undergoing construction. FDOT, the state, is covering full construction of that project at a cost of $2.6 million. The state has agreed to administer the construction and fund. This said $6 million. The draft tentative work plan just came out. They've upped it to up to $7 million for the Broadway roundabout and complete street reconstruction project at the north end. The State Road 789 milling and resurfacing project on the Sarasota County side to repave the roadway on the Sarasota County side. This says $5 million. They just updated that to their new estimate, about $6.1 million, scheduled for fiscal year 27. They have made a future funding commitment for the Manatee County side of the resurfacing once the Broadway roundabout project is complete. And FDOT just completed a repair of a seawall that was undermining at the south end at Overlook Park. So as you can see, we're quite interrelated with FDOT as it comes to what goes on the state roadway and even one of our parks that where FDOT owns the underlying land. In terms of maintenance and emergency response, FDOT is quick to respond to customer and safety matters, which usually get sent through the town's public works department. And FDOT was instrumental in coordinating the debris cleanup and right-of-way restoration after the hurricanes. One off-island improvement that's very important to the town is the Cortez Bridge replacement. That's another state road 684. FDOT is investing $136 million to reconstruct that bridge into a new fixed-span free-flow bridge across Sarasota Bay, which should really help begin to help on the north end. More broadly, in terms of the state of Florida and the town and the state have enjoyed positive working relationships and continue to foster those, whether it's legislative priorities, whether it's a number of numerous grants that we work on together and receive, and other matters of mutual interest. So it's important to remember these partnerships as well as we move forward. Other name change considerations. So if the town commission chooses to change the local road name, you would need to take the steps necessary to pass a resolution with a new name and establish an effective date. Well, the town staff, Mr. Tipton's office, myself, and our department heads have worked to communicate this well to the community. The town commission may want to choose a unique and unused name along the Florida Gulf Coast if you so choose. In your packet, we did provide a list of existing beach parallel coastal road names along basically from Marco Island almost all the way up to Tampa Bay. Some example names can include, these are not obviously all-inclusive, but some of the names we've been hearing, if a name change were to occur, would be Gulf of America Drive, acknowledging the new name for the body of water, Longboat Parkway, the originally contemplated local road name for the roadway, Veterans Drive, to honor our veterans, or Gulf Drive, the name of the same name the road has to the north of us on Anna Maria Island. It's State Road 789 all the way through the north of us as well. It's called Gulf Drive, just north of us. As I mentioned, all the records after the effective date would reference the new name. All records prior would remain the same. And our town attorney did coordinate with a board-certified real estate attorney, and he opined the following: a road name change will not have an adverse legal effect on the town or residents' real property ownership interests. In addition to that, I mentioned earlier, the changing of any addresses on deeds is optional. It will still be recognized as the lot or block meets and bounds or plat description identification for the property that you own. And then wills and trusts, really what happens there is there's also a legal description. The intent of the testator is what really matters when it comes to wills and trusts. Judges will have the intelligent capacity to see, okay, a road name has changed, the intent is still there. It does not invalidate the intent. Should the town commission take no action on the name and would like to add any road name signs, as many people know, local road names can provide a better sense of style and place in a community. Road name signs do provide a visual identifier to residents and business owners and guests and service workers alike. Again, there were only six that were here previously in the state road right-of-way. If the town wanted to consider adding 3 to 6 new backlit street name signs, a rough estimate would be about $16,000 per sign. That includes the elective cost to run the electrical, the pole, the frame for the sign, the LED lights, and the vinyl slide to match our backlit street name signs. So for example, the state took down 6 signs. If over time the commission wanted to consider adding back 6 signs, which are probably not necessary to even have 6, but if you did, it'd be about $100,000, potentially could be drawn from underground project funds, but that would also remain to be seen depending on the timing. So as the mayor, Mr. Tipton, mentioned earlier, and some of the commissioners mentioned earlier, the town has been tracking feedback that's been received. The town has not issued a formal community survey on this. We haven't issued a survey to every resident or voter, haven't checked sample sizes, et cetera, but we began receiving a lot of voluntary informal feedback, and that feedback has been tracked since September 2nd, 2025. This feedback includes both residents and non-residents, Gulf of Mexico Drive property owners and non-Gulf of Mexico Drive property owners. It includes social media posts and emails and other correspondence put together. And there's really 3 buckets that they generally fall into: those opposed to a name change, those in favor of a name change, and those offering general comments and even name suggestions, but not indicating whether they're for or against. All this feedback has been received absent any context of any state political decisions that may or may not follow. The latest summary of feedback that we have below was as of yesterday, 10 p.m., October 19th. So on the social media side, the town has received 153 different posts. What's important to note about the social media posts is that about 82% of those are either non-residents, we've been unable to determine residency, or are unsigned. So we have no idea if those are relevant posts to residents of Longboat Key. However, when it comes to the emails and other written correspondence and other phone correspondence we've received, this is as of 10 p.m. last night, maybe even more today, we've received a total of 423 different emails or correspondence. 19 of those are 9 residents, so the vast majority of the 423 are residents. Of those, 351 opposed, which represents about 83%, 59 in favor, and 13 others making general comments or name suggestions, which really represent the other 17%. So really what you see here is the emails and correspondence of that 423 showing at about 83% opposed at this point in terms of feedback we've received. So today's discussion and next steps. So really the discussion today is about, is there a desire to change the local road name of Gulf of Mexico Drive to another name? The town commission may take no action at this time and the local road name remains the same, decide to take the necessary steps to change the name, or upon hearing the presentation, hearing from the public and discussing as a body, you may continue the discussion to another meeting date and time. So a couple of notes here. If the town commission decides to take no action, the local road name remains the same at this point in time. The town would firstly need to decide whether or not to approach FDOT about replacing the Gulf of Mexico Drive signs, place the town's own signs, or wait for a period of time before doing anything else with signing at this point. More importantly, the town should be aware of the importance of the relationships we have built with and the financial support received from the state of Florida over time. Depending on this outcome, other actions may or may not transpire at the state level, it's hard to say right now, including the state potentially taking further legislative action regarding the road name themselves. And that we just don't know at this point. I will say it's an interesting question we have. We have the burden that a name change could place on the community. You have the desire for protecting home rule. We also have this desire to protect our relationships and hope that a change isn't made on behalf or for the town. If the town commission decides that a local road name is in order, the steps are as follows. You need to select a new name that would be approved by the majority of the commission by a vote. There would need to be a resolution adopted memorializing the new name within the boundary of the town of Longboat Key with an effective date. As the mayor mentioned, a special meeting has been noticed to immediately follow this meeting. This will afford the town commission an opportunity to consider and vote to approve a new local name if they so choose. There is a resolution that has been drafted for this effort. It's resolution 2025-31 in case the town commission wants to go down this path. Once adopted, the town staff would work with everybody we mentioned, the post office, public safety dispatch, other agencies, county agencies, and property owners on revising addresses in as much of a streamlined manner as possible. And like I mentioned, there's some that would be optional and would not be necessary unless the property owners wanted to. Once adopted, the town staff would also work with FDOT on installing new street name signs along the roadway. And these are the facts and summary of the matter and the information before you today, and I thank you for your time.
Thank you, Isaac. For those of you who don't know, Isaac Brownman is the first assistant town manager that we've had in the history of Lombo Key. Before taking that job earlier this year, he was our director of public works for a number of years, having done that job at Sarasota County before coming here. He was the person responsible for dealing with FDOT and all the things we have done and are doing, as well as with FP&L and the undergrounding project. So we're very, very lucky to have him, and I appreciate, again, the thorough job you've done on this for us today.
Thank you, appreciate it.
What we'll do, by the way, as I was listening to Isaac, I was thinking, you know, what a difference a year makes. So a year ago today, we were recovering, all of us in one way or another, from two devastating storms that are still impacting us and impacting many of us in a rather dramatic way. But the fact that we can have this kind of outpouring of attention for a matter of our road name is a testament to how much we have been able to recover over that time. And again, that's a testament really to our staff and to Isaac and to Tip and to all the other department heads and all the other 130 some odd people who work here. So let's just give them a round of applause if we can. So now we're going to have initial comments and questions by members of the commission, and then we will apparently we're having an issue with the live feed that is going out to people at home. So we're going to take about 5 minutes, if not less, to try to work that out, and then we'll resume. So we're back on the record at 1:56. We are now in the portion of the meeting where commissioners may ask questions, give comments. We can have some discussion on this, after which we will hear from the members of the public. Who would like to go? Deborah?
These questions are most likely for Isaac.
Bring it in as close as you can.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Is there a scenario where we would wind up with an official address of 789? Is there a scenario where we would wind up with an official address of Route 789?
So it remains to be seen. If the state legislature decided that State Road 789 is the sole name for this roadway, being that it's a state roadway, state right-of-way, taking the decision-making authority out of the town commission's hands, there would be that possibility. What DOT has told us is they do not want to nor have any intention of signing it SR 789, which is different from what they told us in August, but we're pleased to hear that. They just told us that two business days ago.
Okay, and if we do nothing, can the state rename it? And will they rename it to something other than 789?
So that is the question at hand. It's a state road, and one of the possibilities that has been discussed, including with one of our respected advisors, is the state could legislate a single name for the roadway outside of town commission control.
So there's a lot of ifs here, right? So if we do rename, can the state overrule that?
That I do not know.
I can answer.
Thank you. Oh, wait, Maggie.
Madam.
Maggie, go ahead.
So the state, as we know, has the power to preempt our ability to do certain things. That's all that home rule is. It's the state says, you know, you can act local government in any area so long as we don't prohibit you from acting in that field. And as long as we don't preempt your right to occupy that field. So right now, the state has not preempted our right. But to your question, could they? Yes, they could. But we don't have a crystal ball to know whether they will or they will not do that. So it's still uncertain. But it is a possibility in the many fields of possibilities here.
Thank you.
And just as one thought on that, you know, every state road has a number. And we may not be that familiar with all of them all. I keep having to look them up myself. But, you know, Manatee Avenue is 64, and Cortez is 684, and University is 70, and Clark and Beneva, et cetera. Just go down the list. And the state really hasn't gotten involved, I think, in the placement of those names to date. Yes, Gary.
Isaac, this may be a question for our town attorney, I'm not sure, but at this point, if the name was to stay the same, are we breaking any specific laws?
No, sir, not that I'm aware of, and I'll defer to Maggie as well.
And I think we talked about this at a prior meeting. The way that that legislation came out in the past session that changed the name of Gulf of America, the body of water, the legislature adopted a bill, it said, all references to Gulf of Mexico is now Gulf of America for bodies of water. It did not speak to roads. It, technically speaking, did not speak to roads. However, when you read the legislative history and the staff report and the way that the FDOT, the Florida Department of Transportation, interpreted that law, that technically speaking, only related to a body of water, it indicates an intention to affect change in potentially many more ways. I'll say potentially. So are we violating a law? No, technically we are not violating a law by keeping it.
That's all I need.
But there may be folks who say the intention was known or the intention was such that we intended that everything change. And so we, again, that's not what the law says, but there's a potential argument about intention.
Fine. Thank you.
Anyone else? Yes, Sarah.
I'm wondering if Howard and Isaac might expand a little bit about the nature of our positive relationships with Florida Department of Transportation and our state government, just because it's just the nature of how it took some time and some will to build to this point, and the meaning of those partnerships up until this point and going forward.
I'll start. As Isaac pointed out in the presentation, we have as our main street a state road. So it's a unique relationship that many cities don't have. The positive nature of the state relationships is many-sided. And so we receive support on the beach side and state funding on beaches. We have an underwater pipe project that's going to go underneath Sarasota Bay that has received some state commitments as well. There are any number of grants that we utilize across our agency, from public safety to utilities to parks, that help us fund the gaps. And so it's a very strong relationship. You know, I'm pleased to report that, you know, as Commissioner Branham mentioned, our new District 1 Secretary, Secretary Driggers. We've had several great calls with him, and it starts with wanting to maintain that relationship with Longboat Key and the state of Florida. So we're fortunate that it's very positive, and we're fortunate that we have a strong legislative delegation at the same time to help carry the water for us in Tallahassee.
I would echo what Mr. Tipton said. I've been here 8 years now, and in that time, working with the state District 1 FDOT officials, our legislative, state legislators, all have been positive and proactive.
Steve?
Just to follow up on Howard's comments, I did have an opportunity to speak with Secretary Driggers this morning, and I'll say that he is supportive of whatever we decide here today or whenever we come to a decision, and that things like signage and all that, whatever the decision falls out, they will take care of it. Take care of things like that for us.
Anyone else? Yeah, Deborah.
Yeah, I just wanted to reemphasize that we're not here today because we want to be talking about a name change. I don't think anybody in this room wants to be talking about this, but we're here because, you know, our hand was forced. So I want to make that clear. So I'm not sure that came across in some of the comments. I mean, Isaac, I know you did mention it. We talked about House Bill 549, but I just want to make it clear. Shall I repeat the whole thing? Okay, so I just wanted to make it clear the reason we're here today. I don't think anybody in this room wants to be here discussing a street name change, and certainly the commission doesn't. But because of House Bill 549, we are here today. So I just want to make that clear. This isn't some family said, let's go ahead and change the name. Okay, our hand was forced, and that's why we're all here today.
The only thing I want to say now, and this will come back to the commission after the public has an opportunity to speak, but I also had a conversation with Secretary Driggers about a week and a half ago on this subject. And as Steve said, he wants to maintain the good relationship we have. He has put no pressure on us to make a change. He said he is neutral on the subject. And he actually said to me, on the subject of removing the signs that have been removed, which was done six or eight weeks ago when this issue first bubbled to the surface, was that if he had to do it over again, he might not have done that. He didn't feel like it was absolutely necessary. And the options are open depending on what we do about whether those signs go up or not. So, you know, there's a lot of emphasis to be felt through, a lot of nuances to be felt through on this, but that's what we've heard so far. And no one at the state level, or the national level for that matter, has come to us and said, we think you should do this. I mean, we're sort of being very cautious in doing what we're doing here today. So
why are you?
Well, we're not being forced to make a change, but the question has been raised by members of this community about whether we should make the change. And, you know, the movement of FDOT to take the signs down was an indication that made us feel like we need to address it. We didn't want to ignore it. So we're not. And I think, you know, the fact that we have this many people here, you know, sort of supports the view that we need to take this seriously. And that's what we're doing. So, anyone else? Well, no.
Your Honor.
Have you submitted a form?
Yeah, I did in writing, but I didn't say I wanted to speak.
Well, if you would like to, then sign up and you can speak as well.
Your Honor.
All right. Nope, you can't do it. Nope. BJ.
Your Honor, we can't hear anyone who speaks from the audience, plus you're out of order, but if anybody wastes their time talking from out there, I won't hear a word you're saying. So unless you come to the microphone, we're not going to have a very useful conversation.
Right. So if there's no one else, nothing else from the commissioners, we're going to start with the list of people. And as I said to you, please don't repeat your neighbor, but, you know, tell us what you think. Come up to the mic and state your name and your address, and you got 3 minutes. First name I have is Arlene Svirsky.
Hi,
Nice to go first. Isaac did a great job. I don't know if he's still here. He made
Your Honor, we need names and addresses.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, name and address, please.
Persky, 1511 Gulf of Mexico Drive.
Thank you.
Yeah. So Isaac did a great job, and he made it sound really, really simple, and you're going to cover this, and they're going to cover this for 5,000 people.
Let me stop you 1 second, Arlene. We need to get the clock running. Trish.
There we go. For 5,000.
All right.
They're going to do it all easily for 5,000 people that live on Gulf of Mexico Drive. And I can't imagine you taking the time to do that, and you're going to have to hire staff. But that's besides the point. Here's what I wanted to say. Please, there are so many residents, look at the crowd, near or over 80. If this change of name goes through, it will be a huge burden on all residents, especially these residents. The stress and the amount of time, as well as the cost and the effort this will take to change the name with all of our documents, all of them, besides the things that we're just mentioning today, could cause medical issues. Most people here are still physically and mentally active. Raise your hand if you're physically and mentally active. That's because they stay busy with things that they like, and they still do. But the time this will take can easily put them over the edge, as it will cause them to stop healthy activities and focus on the frustrating process of reaching people inside bureaucratic agencies. This is so unhealthy for all of us here and those that are not here. And we need your protection. So we hope you'll stand up to Tallahassee, to the feds, to whoever is pushing this, and they're not pushing it, they're just suggesting it. So let's please suggest back that we like the name. We're proud of the name that we live on Gulf of Mexico Drive, and we hope you'll support us. Thank you.
Thank you. So I'm going to read a name, and then I'm going to read another name if the second name would come up and stand so we can move things along quickly. Next person is Fred Lugano, and after that, Mary Ellen Cawley. So, Fred. This is so Mary Ellen won't need to run.
Fred Lugano, 3800 GMD. I've written my comments. Regardless of how we feel about the Gulf water or the country of Mexico, there is currently no sea named Gulf of Mexico. It's gone. So roads referencing this name are now nonsensical. The only two real objections to renaming are referencing America in any way and the person who renamed the Gulf. Many among us simply hate America. It's real.
All right, people, everyone's going to get a chance to speak without commentary from the audience. Please.
We should not bow to their self-loathing. Many among us hate our president. We should not bow to Trump derangement syndrome. A road by any other name will leave our town smelling sweet. That's the end of that. Unless there is some underlying mental disturbance here. Maybe that's why this matter is being addressed while only 99% of our residents are currently here. Thank you.
Next is Mary Ellen Cawley. All right, let's keep it down. Come on. Mary Ellen Cawley, followed by Judy Creek.
Okay, so you already said my name. I live at 2525 Gulf of Mexico Drive. I think that's a beautiful name. It's in the United States of America. I have no hate for anyone. I think hate is wrong. I don't think anybody should hate anybody, but we're all entitled to our opinion. The majority of us like our name. We didn't ask to change it. It came from some powers on high that we have nothing to do with it. I got upset. I didn't want to change. I'm old. I don't know how to change all this stuff. So I looked up on the internet and I called people that represent the country of Mexico. Mexico refers to the body of water between us and their country as Gulf of Mexico. It's only 12 miles from the sand that's Gulf of America. Why is this big hullabaloo destroying the peace, the tranquility, and the enjoyment of our beautiful Longboat Key in the United States of America? Well, Mexico didn't call it Gulf of America. Most of the countries in the world didn't. It's just a small strip from the sand to 12 miles out. Why should we change? It's obvious people don't want to. That's my two cents worth. Thank you.
Thank you. Is Judy Krieg here? Next we have Lillian Sands. And after Lillian is Nancy Robinson Setter.
Hi, I'm Lillian Sands, 5951 Gulf of Mexico Drive. Whichever way these commissioners decide to go with us, which I hope, but if they go against us, I suggest that we hire an independent appraisal to see the benefits and the cost, that this money is worth spending before our residents, that we had a bunch of time and money that is going to be wasted, because we are going to have to do each one of these credit cards, everything that we have, each piece of paper will have to be redone. I'm going to be 83 and I'm not looking forward to doing this. And I love being here 35 years and I would hate to lose my address of Gulf of Mexico Drive. Thank you.
Thank you, Lillian. So Nancy Robinson Setter and and then Rick Consavage.
Nancy Robinson Setter, 2425 Gulf of Mexico Drive. My family has lived here in Longboat on Gulf of Mexico Drive for 53 years. My friend lives on Gulf of Mexico and another town that is similar in population in New Jersey, and their street name was changed. Their mail was lost or returned to sender for 2 years. I know that also because I sent a package to them and it came back. If there is a new mail carrier, things get worse again. I don't want to spend two plus years dealing with these changes. Do you?
No.
Thank you. Rick Consavage, then James Armstrong.
Good afternoon, everyone, commissioners and mayor and town manager. My name is Rick Consavage. I'm the managing director of the Longboat Key Club. And like St. Regis, unfortunately, like St. Regis, we have a stance. We're opposed to the name change, and we want this to continue to be Gulf of Mexico for many reasons. One is obviously tourism. Our guests would be
Rick,
so confused.
Could you hold on just a moment? All I'm hearing is a ringing telephone.
Okay.
Please turn the phone off.
Got it.
And it's in, we have three addresses to have. One of them is a major one, which is their shipping and receiving. It would just be a nightmare if we had to change our address to all our vendors, everything that we do, our administrative offices, where all our legal papers, everything that we do at the club, in our Zoda Beach Resort, which is a great resort on Longboat Key, and everything is Gulf of Mexico. We try very hard to repeat, you know, have our guests make it as easy as possible to find us via websites, emails, and so forth. This would just be a disaster for us in many ways. And like my dad said, if it's not broke, don't fix it. I would encourage everyone to say we don't need to do anything. I mean, this is not the most important thing that issues that we have in the world today. Let's leave it the way it is and let's move forward. And hopefully the state will recognize us as a great community, which we are. And I thank everybody for their support.
We have James Armstrong, followed by Russ Callahan. Is James Armstrong here?
Yes.
And then Russ Callahan's next.
Hi. Just want to say briefly...
Name and address, please, just for the record.
James Armstrong, 2912 Gulf of Mexico.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. And I just think from what I've gathered so far from everybody is that... I'm sorry, I don't know your name, ma'am.
Deborah Williams.
Yeah. You seem to think that there was a compelling reason to... I don't have my reading glasses on. There was a compelling reason to make immediate action. You know, I think the prudent thing would be to wait and see what the ramifications are and then see, you know... I mean, right now, there's no compelling reason to do anything, really, unless we're being forced to or going to lose funding, or which really wouldn't be morally correct, but at least there's some reason to do it. I mean, I think everybody... from what I've heard, likes the name Gulf of Mexico Drive, you know, and it's not a bad name, and it doesn't mean you hate Trump. You know, I'm a Trump supporter, so, you know, but it doesn't mean it's, you know, and who knows, in a couple of years, administration could change the other way, hopefully not, but, and then what, we're going to change it back? Or, you know, it's an exercise in futility, so maybe the best thing to do when you're not certain of all the ramifications is to just simply wait and see what happens, you know? That's it.
Thank you. So let me just interject this. It is, as it must be, the policy of this board and this town to comply with the law. So we have spent some time talking about and discussing what the law is. Now, if the law were to change, we would comply with the law. So unless there's any doubt about that. So I need Russ Callahan, followed by GMD change. Yeah, so this is Arsky, lbk@gmail.com, Arsky. All right. Oh, you've already been. All right, so then David Dickinson would follow Russ. Russ Callahan?
He's left, sir.
Okay. David Dickinson, followed by George Reinstra. Name and address, please.
Dave Dickinson, 603 Longboat Club Road. Mayor, commissioners, members of the public, thank you for allowing me to speak. In my opinion, it's real simple. It's a matter of patriotism. Why has it become so un-American not to be patriotic for this country? It's easy to say I'm a patriot, to get up there and say, I love America. Regardless of where you stand on the political spectrum, whether you are left, right, Democrat, Republican, independent, the issue has become politicized. We're making a big issue out of something that's very simple. For all Americans, we need to honor America. I'm a veteran of the United States Air Force, 21 years I served. Iraq, Afghanistan, North Africa. My house was blown up by a 122-millimeter rocket. I lost friends. Real easy to say I'm a patriot. Those are patriots. And by renaming Gulf of Mexico Drive to Gulf of America, we honor them. A lot of people have sacrificed for that. The name change will not cost anyone in this room an ounce of blood. It's pretty simple. Thank you very much.
Thank you. George Reinstra, followed by Victoria Smith.
Hi, my name is George Reinstra, and I'm the one who kicked this hornet's nest
and got it started. Like my neighbor Dave, I'm a Vietnam veteran. I did my time, I came back, and I was fine living here on Gulf of Mexico Drive. I actually live on Longboat Key, and I look out my window, and I see the Gulf of America. Whether you're pro-Trump or anti-Trump, and I think there's a lot of anti-Trumpers out here, and so this is a way to show our attitude. I don't know how many of you made any comments when President Obama, whom I supported, changed Mount McKinley to Denali. I'm sure everybody was happy about that. Now it's back. I served on several military bases that when President Biden decided to change their name, I think a lot of us who served in the military were not happy because we had a connection to that. And I've listened and I've read all the articles that, oh, I'm going to have to change my checks and I'll never get my mail. Postmaster didn't say that. We had a great presentation. But I think, as my friend Dave said, it's Gulf of America now. I'd like to see it change to Gulf of America Drive. And since I did kick the hornet's nest, I'd like to make a suggestion. If that bothers you, make it Veterans Drive or Veterans Boulevard. I'm a Vietnam vet. We came back and got spit on. Okay? Maybe this would be a good time to pay, I don't know if any others here are Vietnam vets, would be a good time to pay us back because we had no respect. Nobody said thank you for their service when I came back. In fact, you tried to hide that you had been in Vietnam. So, let's show respect either to America by making it America Drive. Let's show respect to veterans, Veterans Drive, Vietnam Veterans Drive. But this is not Mexico. Let's change it. I started this because I thought it was a perfect opportunity for us to show respect to America, to something, not to Mexico, and I'm not anti-Mexican. But this is our opportunity, which is why I started the ball rolling. I've listened, I've read all the comments. There's really no expense for us. The state sent a message. They took the signs down, and I've met with several members of this commission individually, and all of a sudden the signs went down. Let's work with the state we live in. We want to do improvements on the road, I was told, at the north end. Well, if you poke the person who has the money, you may not get that. But that aside, let's show respect for the country we live in. Let's show respect for the veterans. Let's do something and not show respect for Mexico. Thank you.
Thank you. Victoria Smith.
I decided not to speak. I think my shirt speaks for itself.
Thank you. Jeff Bossy, and then Priscilla Von Annen.
I'm Jeff Bossy, 1211 Gulf of Mexico Drive. Mr. Mayor, you referred to a Secretary Druthers. Could you identify who that person was, please?
Yes, he is the District 1. He is the secretary who is in charge of the district in which we operate for the Florida Department of Transportation. It's a fairly high position, and his predecessor is L.K. Nandum, is the person we've dealt with almost all of the transport issues on the island.
Thank you.
So Jamie Driggers is in that role now.
Thank you. Well, I just want to say that I don't hate anybody, that I'm very much in favor and I appreciate the service of many veterans, but we can honor veterans by doing something other than imposing great hardships upon so many people in our community. There's no need for this road to have a name that is identical to the body of water to our west. We could call this road anything we wanted to, Panama Canal, or we could call it the Isthmus of the Gibraltar Straits. I happen to live in southern Indiana, and we have a town called Santa Claus. this is just too much to ask of people, many of whom, as we know, are elderly people. And what happens 4 years from now, 8 years from now, 12 years from now, when we have a new president who wants to change this back to the Gulf of Mexico? Do we go through all of this again? Do we change our stationery? Do we change our driver's license, passports, bank accounts, credit cards, insurance policies, post offices? I hope we continue to keep the name Gulf of Mexico, Gulf of Mexico Drive. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Priscilla Von Annen, followed by Ron Kelly.
Okay, I'm Priscilla Von Annen. I live on the north end in the village. I don't live on GMD, but I don't want it to change its name. I don't think it's necessary. It's the name of a road. It can be the name of anything. And everyone's used to the Gulf of Mexico Drive. So I don't see why we have to change it and cause the inconvenience to many people and even the resorts and things like that. They have a lot of expense to change. I don't think we need to change it. It's the name of a road, and it's 789 Gulf of Mexico Drive, just like Route 70 is 53rd Avenue. We can have both names there, you know? I don't think it's necessary. That's it.
Thank you. We have Ron Kelly, followed by Dave Lepofsky.
Good afternoon. My name's Ron Kelly. I'm 2109 Gulf of Mexico Drive. I believe clearly there are compelling reasons to actually do nothing at this point. But in spite of that, I have a question, and I'm not sure who can answer it. Are they proposing a name change for Anna Maria on Gulf Drive? And does anybody know?
Not to our knowledge.
Not to our knowledge. So it's really all about the word Mexico. And again, I just suggest strongly, and from taking a survey within our community of 60-odd people, I think we got 15 to nothing to do nothing with the name, just leave it as is.
And by the way, the complete answer is we have not been asked to do anything either, just to be perfectly clear. Neither has Anna Maria Island.
But there's a lot of inference when you look at the presentation that was made today,
right,
that the Florida Department of Transportation is certainly encouraging it by removing a sign and removing all reference to Gulf of Mexico. So I think we have to be aware of that. And if anything, especially based on some of these other comments, that, you know, what happens 5 years from now if we did make a change and a new administration came in, and you end up having to come back again. So I would just throw out the possibility that if it actually moves to the point where we feel a name change is required, just the extension of Gulf Drive that you have on Anna Maria would actually kind of be a neutral way to get rid of the word Mexico, since that seems to be the offensive part of the name, which I'm very disappointed by that. But anyway, that's all I have.
Thank you.
Okay.
David Lepofsky, followed by Robert Rosen. David is the chairman of our planning and zoning board, so welcome.
Thank you. For the record, David Lepofsky, 1281 Gulf of Mexico Drive. I vote on Longboat Key, and I speak to you today as a private citizen, not as the chair of the Planning and Zoning Board. A lot of what I wanted to say has already been said, so I'm going to honor the request to not be repetitive. I do, though, want to read from a press release from the governor's office of a couple of weeks ago now, I guess, that speaks of the DOGE audits. Yes, there are DOGE audits going on in Florida, being conducted of all municipalities, including Longboat Key. In the press release, the state's Chief Financial Officer Blaise Ingolia is quoted as saying, quote, "Floridians across the state have made it clear that they will no longer tolerate waste and abuse of taxpayer dollars. Well, if the town having to change, to what we've heard, to change the name of our street isn't a use, isn't an abuse and waste of taxpayer residents' dollars, I don't know what is. There can be no question, based on the volume of email that Isaac quoted and other surveys that were done, I think that were not counted in there, of the north end of Country Club Shores, that there can be no question what the citizens of this town want. Those few who feel differently about it really don't give any practical reasons, but rather emotional reasons for making a change. Where is it written that the name of the street has to match the body of water or the geographical fixture that it's near? Nowhere. Don't history and culture count for the way we name our streets? Sure they do. Look around you at Washington Boulevard and other streets like that. Changing the name to something other than Gulf of Mexico Drive, as has been suggested here, it's not a solution. It fails to satisfy those on both sides of the argument, and still forces all of us to go through the process and challenge. So, you know, we know the state can be vindictive. You know, look at the city of Sarasota and their Burns Court street paintings. But we're hearing, and what I heard here today, which was news to me, is that the deputy of the local region of the DOT has said that we don't have to do anything. And I heard you say, Mr. Mayor, that there's no pressure on us to do anything. So what's the risk in doing nothing at this point? If the state gets vindictive, and we know they can be, let them bring it on, and we, the citizens, will be supportive of the action that you take. Thank you for your service.
Thank you. Robert Rosen, followed by John Schmidt. Is Robert Rosen here? John, you're up.
Good afternoon. My name is John Schmidt. I live basically around the corner at 600 Weston. And when I learned about this debate, it occurred to me the only reason I think you would want to keep the name Gulf of Mexico Drive, is in the belief that at some point in time, the Gulf will be back to Gulf of Mexico. And I heard some comments by some individuals saying, well, yeah, that can happen. I don't think that can happen. I really don't. I don't think any Republican or Democrat will change the name of this body of water, whether we like it or not, back to Gulf of Mexico. This body of water, is surrounded by almost 3/4 of the United States. So in fact, this body of water was probably misnamed from the beginning. It is the Gulf of America. So unless you think it's going to change back, this is an issue which, as the councilwoman said, she didn't ask for, but has been dumped on your lap. So the solution, I think, for you as people who are responsible for running this town, is that you should have the name mean something. It's really absurd to have a road next to a body of water that they're a mismatch. I mean, you could call it something else, you could Veterans Drive or something, but it's not the Gulf of Mexico Drive. It's the Gulf of America Drive, simply because that's where it is. So I strongly recommend that you take this on. I know it's not easy. Woodrow Wilson once said, if you want to make an enemy, change something. But I think in the best interest of the town, it is to make the name fit the water. Thank you.
Thank you. Laura Pastrusik? She's gone? Oh, okay. And then Irina LaRose.
Hi, I am Laura Pastuzik. My address is 3806 Gulf of Mexico Drive. I want to thank you, Mayor, Commissioner, the public, and thank you to the veterans that have served and those that spoke today. I love America. I come from a family of immigrants. I love Longboat Key. We are in an incredible place. I think that the public here has not been represented in this argument. I am wondering why we are having this discussion when we're not in season. On Longboat, so many decisions are made in condos and homeowner associations with a small fraction of people. Furthermore, a lot of issues at large, when I look at the survey of people's opinions regarding major issues that are driven for changes with the law, are sampled by a very small percentage of people, as was demonstrated today. We did not survey the town. A lot of the residents are not here yet. The ones that truly, truly matter that do have to change their addresses. Why are we having this discussion without them? It was actually kind of concerning that the decision was possibly going to be made today. And I'm so thankful for the assistant, I'm sorry, I forget his name, but the presentation that he made really was revealing. So here's what I have to say. I love living on the Gulf of Mexico Drive. It is a great name. It indicates that we live in an incredible place. However, I think it would be even more amazing if I lived on Gulf of America Drive. I love our great country, the best in the world, and I have been to a lot of countries. The fact that we can civilly discuss this is a testament to the freedoms we enjoy in America, unlike any other country. We are having a formal meeting on an opinion that was not formally addressed. The town sends out an official survey to all full-time residents yearly. Why is there not a formal process for this to happen? I respectfully advocate to ask a formal survey happen before we make any decision. Only 9% of residents have informally responded to major decisions which will impact many more people. While the Observer and the Longboat Key News reflect letters from residents, it only represents a small sampling and mostly were for against the change, which I don't think is accurate. The issue is out of sight, out of mind. And if we could have civility, it is something that we did discuss.
Please.
If we are going to change the name, changing it to any other name than the Gulf of America would, well, you laughed, I'm taking my time back, would be nonsensical as it would bring hardship. So either leave it at Gulf of America or do nothing, but to change it to something else would truly bring hardship. And in closing, Gulf of America reflects us. We are Americans. Please stop hating America. God bless the best country on earth.
Thank you. Our final speaker is Irina LaRose.
Good afternoon. Thank you for the time. I'm Irina LaRose at 6840 Gulf of Mexico Drive. I represent businesses on the Key. We're a business owner at a Gulf of Mexico Drive address for the last 31 years. We've all heard the comments made and appreciate those and agree with those wholeheartedly. What I would like to say is, as a body that is here to make decisions on behalf of the town, your main concern is with legalities. And as you have stated, no action has been asked of this commission and the town by the administration of this state. The attorney has also stated that currently we are in compliance with state law as it has been presented. If we were to change the name to anything, Veterans Drive, Gulf Drive, the state could equally, as you stated, override that decision that the town attorney seems, you've said evident, is simply based on something they could choose to do. And we are making decisions based on law and fact as it stands now. So it seems there is no reason or indication to make this decision at this time. If there is an indication of such that any commissioners are aware of that specifically indicate that there's tracking or threats of state funding being withheld due to this decision, that is unbeknownst to us, I would hope that you will share that with us at this time and help this commission make a wise decision based on the facts and the law as it stands today. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thanks to everyone who's come here, and thanks to everyone who's spoken. We're now going to move back to the commission. We're going to have this discussion on this issue, and I think the way I would like to do it is to have any commissioner say whatever you feel, whatever you're thinking on this subject, but at the end of our discussion and our back and forth, I'm going to go down the aisle and see if we can form a consensus on action for today. So whatever order you want to go in, hands up. No one wants to. Yeah, Sarah.
I just really appreciate living in a community where people care about important issues. This road is our main street, and we all live our lives on it every day, whether we want to or not, unless we take the kayak. I want to honor every opinion that was expressed here. It's important that we do retain our civility, even when we are enthusiastic about our point of view. I do feel that some of the folks who got up and took the time and the energy to share from their hearts about what was important to them here today were perhaps maybe not met with as much respect as we might have been able to muster were we being more conscious of that aspect. I have heard from residents on the north end of Longboat Key, another kind of element of this discussion that we're all having. For some of us, yes, it's a completely political issue. For some of us, it's more about history. It's more about tradition. For some of us, it's about logistics or very legitimate costs that could be presented or problems that could be presented with a change. But what I'm hearing from everyone I'm talking to out in the community is a consistent wish to keep the peace with their neighbors and keep the peace with the businesses that they treasure in their community. And I know everyone feels this, and it's just something that needs to be interjected here as we discuss, because whatever's decided or not decided today, some people will walk away unhappy, and that's part of this process. But overall, I've just been so moved by the civility of and the caring about neighborly relationships that have been shared with me throughout the past few weeks.
Your Honor.
Yes, BJ.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have served in local government for a long time, mostly in the Commonwealth of Virginia. But when I took my oath to serve in Longboat Key, the job that I have sitting in this chair is to be responsible for the health, welfare, and safety of the residents of Longboat Key. There is nothing about the name of the street that meets any of those categories. There are many people in this audience, and there are many people that are not here that live on Gulf of Mexico Drive who lost their homes or their homes were severely damaged. I know what that's like. My husband and I lost our home in the hurricane over 12 months ago. We are still homeless today, living in a one-bedroom apartment over a garage. That is not where I thought I would be living at this chapter in my life. I would love to be home fighting with the insurance company who has yet to pay a penny on my wind insurance, but I am here talking about a name change on a road. To the woman who stated how horrible it was that we're having this meeting in October, I would say, we don't stop doing business in the town of Longboat Key because it's October. It happens to be late October, and nobody gives me any time off from this great job I have for the vast salary that you people pay us. Oh, that's right, you pay us zero to sit here. So to say for us to take our time 12 months a year and bust our butts to make this place as safe and healthy and secure as possible is pretty damn important to me, and I would hope that that would be what's important to you. For the individuals who walked into this room and used the word hate America, I have spent my life as a public servant, most of which I have never been paid for. My late husband spent a life working for the common good and died of lung cancer. So let me say this. I have two wonderful friends who could not be here today. From the horror that happened from the hurricanes last year, they both lost homes. One is now battling fourth-stage inoperable cancer. The other one just had a heart attack. So if you don't believe that the stress from what happened with the hurricane and the 12 months since then has not caused tremendous angst and pain for this community, don't talk to me about what we hate and don't hate. We happen to be devoted to this community at the highest level. We happen to really love Longboat Key, and we work our darndest to protect and save it. And one thing that I am determined we're going to save it from is negative, toxic behavior. So our job here is health, welfare, and safety, and getting this community back on its feet after the most horrid weather conditions that we have experienced in 100 years. And for that, I hear clearly from all of you your opinions, but what I hear most intently are the people. I have to tell you, if I lived on G&D, and I don't, I live on Buttonwood, where we've lost most of the houses in our neighborhood. But if I lived on G&D and you guys said, oh yeah, we're changing the name, you have to go get a new driver's license, it's one more thing. If you saw the list of things that the people who had homes and businesses damaged have to go through, if you told me I have to go to Sarasota and sit in the line at DMV to get a new driver's license, open carry would be even more dangerous than it already is. So with that, I hope we do what we did in Loudoun County, Virginia. We never named something. We never changed the name of something until at least 5 years had passed when the person was dead. And as you guys can well imagine, in Loudoun County, Virginia, where everything's named after Confederate generals, it got to be a little dicey. But we were able to do it by not jumping on a bandwagon and making a quick change. So I would say, leave it alone, because I don't want anybody to have to go get a new driver's license.
Steve.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Let me just say up front that I'm a veteran of 37 years in the United States Coast Guard, and I served that flag all those 37 years. I live on Gulf of Mexico Drive and had suffered not nearly as much as BJ has, but some pain from the hurricane. But we live on Gulf of Mexico Drive. And so I would be more than happy to change the name to Gulf of America. Personally, I would. Or Veterans Drive, whatever you want to call it that's patriotic. But for the same token that we serve this flag is that we need to honor the democratic process. And based on what I've seen so far of 400 and some odd inputs, about 80 some percent say, don't change it for whatever reason. And there may be some risk to doing that, but right now we haven't been able to determine what that is. We've got the legislature that may be one of the elephants in the room, or the Florida Department of Transportation, i.e. the governor. So we don't know what the repercussions of this will be. But right now, where I sit is that the people have spoken in an informal way. Maybe we need to formalize that with a more rigorous polling, or as I've discussed with the town manager, the potential for a referendum. Now, that's got some issues as well. It takes time and effort, and it probably won't meet the mail. But I think my position is to honor the majority.
Penny.
Yeah, there are a couple of things that come to mind. One is that the Bill 549 does not mandate that we do anything, which of course is the path of least resistance at this point. But there, in terms of timing for this, we are in the middle of a federal shutdown, and so many seniors have to deal with Social Security and Medicare, and a lot of folks here in Longboat travel. They have passports and Global Entry and TSA and the IRS and a lot of the federal agencies that they're going to be having to tangle with, where they're in the best of times is bureaucracy, and at this particular time is going to be so difficult to get things done. So and also with regard to the numbers of folks who have written in, and thank you all for doing that. I think on either side, it's wonderful to have your feedback and for us to really understand what you're thinking. But 400 is about 400 to 450 is about the number of responses for a national survey. So when you see these big survey companies that go into the field, 400 is a really good answer. A really good indicator of what the public thinks. And when you're dealing with 7,500 residents and you have 400 plus, almost 500 responses, that's an enormous amount. In a normal survey, you can expect 3%, just a regular survey. So this is I think, significant, and something, as you said, Steve, that I think we need to pay attention to. The recovery of the storms, of course, is also an issue, and thank you to BJ for bringing that up, because it is just one more thing. So if we're not being by law required to make this change, I think the timing for this in this particular environment with the shutdown is just not a good thing.
Thanks. Gary.
Yeah, I would like to thank the community and all their response to this. It's been amazing. I wish the room was full like this on every issue we have every month. Although I'll probably take that back. But after reviewing all the correspondence listening this afternoon, it's clear that a change to the Gulf of Mexico Drive would be a substantial hassle for administrative and logistical purposes for our residents, as well as the businesses that are established here, their branding, etc. While I understand the symbolic intent behind this idea, it simply does not serve the real community as a whole. I don't see it. As stewards of our taxpayers' resources and community stability, our responsibility is to make decisions grounded in practicality and public benefit, both now and in the future. Therefore, I believe the most prudent course of action for us to take is just to do nothing and retain the name Gulf of Mexico Drive and focus on more pressing issues in our community.
Deborah.
I just want to let you know, I live on GMD, so I would personally be affected by this. And when I heard about this issue, I kind of thought about what I would have to change. Personally, that's not the biggest issue here. I mean, the changes, I could handle that. So much as electronic today. However, I've heard all of your comments, and I've heard what you've written in emails and what you've said today. And I understand that might be more difficult for some than others, so that's fine. It is a big deal because we've had GMD for a very long time. I do agree what I said before. We'd all rather not be here. All of you would rather be elsewhere. As a commission, we have other issues that are probably more pressing, but here we are. I do want to share something. BJ and I were in Tallahassee last week, and we did meet with our lobbyist. And I'm just going to share something with the commission and with all of you that he told us. He said, you know, people are watching this, and, you know, you might want to think about what you're doing. It could have repercussions. It's not a threat. It's not a promise. It's just something that we heard, we took note of, and I just want to put that out there. I don't know if anybody here would like to discuss it, but just an FYI. So, thank you.
I'm sorry. You're not speaking loud enough.
I wish you had told me that when I first
said that. So. I can hear you back here.
Thank you.
So, thank you, Deborah. Wiser mayors than me told me to always go last, and I try to do that, and then I do try to summarize the thoughts in hopes that we can get an agreement, and I certainly would like to resolve this issue today, if we can. First, let me thank staff and council for all the time and effort that has gone into this matter over the past several months, and to all the members of the public who have participated with civility, for the most part, by letter or attendance or both. I think close to 600 people, if we include social media, took the time to write to us to express their opinions on the future of the name of our main road. In the end, I do think this is a simple two-part question. The first part is, who has the authority to name our main road? As a state road, FDOT gives it a number, SR 740-789. And beyond that, the local community has the exclusive and undisputed right to give the road a local name. Since 1957, 2 years after this town was formed, that name has been Gulf of Mexico Drive. The second question is whether a sufficient case has been made to change that name to something else, Gulf of America or Third Choice. I believe such a case has not been made. In the 14 years I've served on Lombeau Key boards in this commission, it has been drummed into my head that above all, we must keep Longboat, Longboat. I've taken that to mean that any change we effect must be an improvement and be consistent with the history and special character of our community. Gulf of Mexico Drive has been the name of our main road for 68 years. And no one has made a case, no less a compelling case, for change. At this point in time, no law requires us to do so. On the other hand, at least two major factors compel us to retain our historic name. First, the cost in time and treasure to the town, its residents, and its businesses to change over 5,000 addresses and every form of identity and advertising would create an unfair and unnecessary burden on all members of our community. Let's face it, most of us are confused enough as it is. Second, the unprecedented volume of opinions received by this commission on the subject deserves considerable weight. Clearly, in a representative government such as ours, the decision belongs to this body and cannot be handed off to the public, no matter how well intended. But we have always taken pride here in seeking out and being responsive to public opinion. Over 80% of the comments we received from our neighbors in this case, and almost all of the correspondence that contained a reasoned analysis, have asked that we retain Gulf of Mexico Drive. And as stated earlier, as best we can gather, at least from FDOT and the senior people we deal with there, they are remaining neutral on the matter. So for these reasons, and so long as the law puts this matter in our hands to decide, I favor retaining the historic name of our main road, and I favor doing it today. As a result, I will request of my colleagues a consensus to retain GMD as the name of our main road. If that consensus is agreed, I would ask for a further consensus to elect to cancel our notice special meeting as there will be no further action for us to take today. So on that, I am going to ask for that consensus to retain the name Gulf of Mexico Drive. I think we have seven. And again, thank you. Thank everyone for your participation in this. As I said, since we've taken this action, we don't need to have a further meeting today. But again, thank you.
Your Honor, can we have about 5 minutes?
Yes, ma'am.
Do we have anything for, we have?
We do. We still have our general comments and the like.
Take 5 minutes.
We're going to take a 5-minute break. We're going to come back and do our follow-up actions before adjournment, which is does not involve the name change. Record at 3:24. We're just going to do our wrap-ups. So is there anything on the minds of any commissioners at this point before we close? Yes, Steve.
Just one calendar thing. I'll be over in Orlando trying to get smarter the end of the week here with IEMO2. So I'll be over there for 2 days.
Okay. Good. Thank you. BJ.
Thank you, Your Honor. I have served with a lot of commissions in a lot of places, and there has never been a group that I have enjoyed working with more or who have consistently worked to listen to the needs of the community and reacted to those needs as they've come down. And Your Honor, you handled this meeting as perfectly as I think it could be handled, and to Tip and to Isaac, a wonderful job of putting the facts and the material out there. And I am just so greatly appreciative to work with such an outstanding group of people. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you for that. And, you know, we were talking about this before. We have an amazing community. And when you think of something that is has the potential for being explosive like this has, and political in a lot of ways. And, you know, there was a cackle or two out there, but for the most part, this was an incredibly civil group of people and smart, and they know what's going on. We're very lucky. So thank you.
That's what I just said to Isaac, and I thanked him for bringing the temperature down.
Yeah.
Because it really, this could have gone sideways. Yeah.
Yeah. So
one thing I wanted to mention was about the City Government Week.
Yeah.
And that Trish and her staff has put together a tremendous program for little missions to do and things to happen and things for the residents to be involved with. So I think we should all try and participate in that as much as we can.
I agree.
I got my shots today. Does that count?
Yeah.
Do you know, Tip, whether we were able to get the sounds part of the system out?
I don't know that the sound was up to our standard during the. We're having some crackling issues on the sound. And so what we're going to do is hopefully replace the sound with the sound that we had here. So we'll make it what's on the online version should be clearer. But as it was live, we had some technical issues.
According to former Mayor Terry Gans, he could hear us loud and clear.
Oh, good. Good. And he's out west now. Or is he? Okay,
LA.
Great.
California.
Super.
Yeah.
All right. Anyone else? Maggie?
No report.
Tip?
Mayor and commissioners, I would just echo Commissioner Coffin's comments about City Weeks and the events that we have. And so tomorrow morning, if you didn't have anything to do, we're doing a hands-on CPR class at our North Fire Station. We've got a school field trip to St. Regis to look at the aquarium that they've got there, which should be fun. Ice cream social at Town Hall on Thursday afternoon. There may not be any left if you don't get here right at 2, so I'll just... And then we've got a community blood drive on Friday, as well as a shred event. So just lots of different things to be aware of. You know, visit our website, and we've got all of that listed out. The other thing, just as a reminder, because we were talking about veterans during the meeting, that we are honoring our veterans as well as our 70th anniversary on November the 8th at the Town Center Green, and just remind everybody about that. Should be, it's in the afternoon, starts at 4 p.m. And should be a wonderful time. That's all I have, sir.
Thank you. There's nothing else. We are adjourned at 3:28.
But don't leave till you get your dinner.